Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Pastor Malupa, good afternoon to you.
Hey, good afternoon. Good afternoon. How are you doing?
No, man, doing well, man, Pastor. It's been a minute. Are you okay?
No, all is well, thanks.
Lovely, lovely. Great to have you on board. And thank you so much for agreeing to speak to us. I think we're going to be connecting this time for the rest of this week. So thank you. Thank you. And thank you so much for joining us. Now, we are going to be exploring, the nature of sin. And this week, we're going to be looking at not only its nature, but its consequences. And today, we begin with a look at the origins of sin. And how did things go wrong in a perfectly made world? And how do we find ourselves in rather a sinful world? So, Pastor, now please help us understand the origins of sin. When did it, or where, rather, did it all fall apart?
you know this issue of sin coming into the world and it all falling apart is a really, really hectic subject. It's they call it hamartiology. It's the official study of sin, which is coming from hamartia, is Greek for sin. And hamartiology is then the study of sin. And when you look at it, there's quite a number of things that you've got to consider when you're looking at its origin and how it all falls apart, or rather how the sin comes together and the peace falls apart. The nature of sin, you've got to look at it, the definition, but the characteristics as well, its distinctions and the types, because you've got personal, you've got original, you've got one that is sin against God and all of that. You've also got to explore the influence that it has. In terms of temptation, in terms of theological aspect of it, right? And you've also got to examine the effects of the sin individually on its merit. Individually on its merit, right? You've got to explore creation. You've got to explore spiritual death and all of that. Now, in defining what sin is, you are looking primarily at a separation from God. So you are not necessarily looking at an action or even an omission, or even a particular verbalization or anything of that nature. What you are looking at primarily is a separation from God. So anything that separates you from God, theologically, we then classify that as sin. So it does not have to be something that it is written somewhere. It does have to be anything that separates you from God. Now, when you water that down and you try to understand it from other avenues, you then look at relationships that you have with other people. And we're going to deal with this, for the rest of the week. You look at the relationships that you have with other people, where you are fine with somebody, and as soon as something happens between the two of you, you are no longer fine with each other. Now, it's not written in the Bible that thou shalt not step on the toes of your brother. But once you step on the toes of the brother, then things are no longer fine between the two of you. The one who has stepped on the toes of their brother has committed a sin, because they have created separation, be in that relationship. And that is primarily what we're talking about when defining what sin is. It goes a little bit deeper than that, because it is governed by the knowledge that you have of God. So if let's give it another example. Let's say that God did not tell Adam and Eve not to eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right? Had they eaten that fruit, but they were not told, that would have not been sin.
Because you're not told about it.
You're not told about it. You don't know. And that is why the Bible then goes ahead to say, God winks at your days of ignorance. When you don't know, nobody will hold you accountable for something that you do not know. So when you're looking at sin, part of the definition has to be that you know about this.
So that you can be held accountable for it.
So that you can be held accountable. Primarily, the issue is accountability. How we come to the definition of sin is that you've got to be held accountable for this whole situation that we're in. But how do you get that? How are you held accountable for something that you did not know? So you have to be in a position where you had prior knowledge of this sin situation. Now, if you had prior knowledge and you go ahead and you go against that prior knowledge, then that is when we are going to say you have sinned against, and Joseph says, I cannot sin against my master and against God. So it is possible that when you sin, you may sin only against a person, or you may sin only against God, or you may sin against both of them. but primarily, there are those three factors that you've got to take into consideration. Firstly, sin is the separation in a relationship between man and God, or man and man. Secondly, sin then becomes an action or a verbalization or an omission that is done due to having known, after you have known not to do that, then you do it. And thirdly, and most importantly, is sin is what is caused by an individual who has no respect or has no regard for what has been put in front of them. So it's an issue of accountability, as you have mentioned.
Yeah. Now tell me, you mentioned different types. I'm not sure when you're going to deal with that, but you interestingly mentioned the original sin as well. Is that what we're dealing with here today?
The origin of sin is, so yes, we are going to deal with it a bit later in the week, which is where we're now talking about Revelation and the book of Isaiah 14, where we're dealing now with, we're going to look a lot open to the spirit of prophecy, but we're dealing now with what happened to the devil, how he separates himself from God, and how God manages to explain to him and convince him that what he has done is a separation and tantamount to being called a sin, and how he then persists to, and that is how now we come to the point where we say it was pride that made him to be irrecoverable or irredeemable. It was pride that made him to be irredeemable. It's because after God had made him to understand exactly where and what he had done, he then goes ahead and he continues in the path that he had taken. And he now puts himself in a situation where it's irrecoverable. So first, the devil gets off the road. There's little literature that explains that part, where the first instance where he turns off the right path.
Mm.
There's very little literature that explains that. The literature then, biblical literature then begins to talk about when he had now established his different path that separates him from God. And he had now started even sharing it with other angels. God calls him aside. He says to him, listen, I understand that you may think that there is a democracy here, but there actually isn't a democracy. Mm. This is a theocracy because you are a creation. I'm the creator. If I give everything to you, you will not be able to handle it. You will explode and cease to exist. But he doesn't get that.
Mm.
He thinks you've got to run for election to become God. So the origin of sin, we'll deal with it a little bit later.
Mm.
But in a nutshell, that is how the narrative goes.
Mm. Yeah, no, it's hectic. Now, Pastor, you know, Lucifer was already rebellious, you know, because there was war that broke in heaven. So was it a matter of time before he infected other parts of God's perfect creation? I mean, was it inevitable that he would eventually impact the world the way he did with his wickedness?
Yeah, definitely it was. Remember how God creates. The rules of engagement that he creates are that you have total control over your power of choice. So whoever who is created by God, that individual has total control over their power of choice. And what then happens is, in a situation where you have total control over your power of choice, there is a risk of a choice that will be made against God. That is inevitable.
Mm.
There's no other way you can turn away from that.
Yeah.
If there is a power of choice, somebody is going to exercise the power of their choice. I had this conversation with a good friend of mine, an intellectual, Swintini, and he says, when I engaged him on the subject, he says he feels that God was unfair to only give us choice between two, because if you are having a choice between those two, good and evil, then you actually don't have a choice.
Mm.
Why did he not give us a choice or a third choice of self?
And
I said to him, a third choice of self would still be choosing evil, because the only good can be found in God.
Mm-hmm.
There's no other good or righteousness that can be found anywhere else. Should you choose yourself, how do you trust yourself that you will be good when you yourself are only taking goodness from God? You are not inherently and in and of yourself good. That is why you've got to make a choice, because you can only make a choice when there is the external side of it is showing goodness.
Now, are you still with us, Pastor? All right. I think the pastor is just attending to something. We are talking to Pastor Lehlono Lomolupa, who is talking to us about exploring the nature of sin. Now, when we look, are you back with us, Pastor?
I'm back with you.
Yeah, when we look at the rebellion of Lucifer in heaven, as well as Adam and Eve's disobedience, one may look on the surface and conclude that it was about a disgruntled angel or perhaps a forbidden fruit. So what would you then say is the root of the original sin? Forbidden fruit or the rebellion in heaven? Which is which? That remains the root of sin today.
The original sin is definitely emanating from heaven. This is an influence. You know, in street language, we say kimoya. somebody brought a strange spirit here on earth, and that infected the residents of earth. But it was not an origination of the creation that was on earth. Mm. This is something that came from heaven, where Lucifer decided to turn away from the righteousness of God. And he brought that spirit together with him when he came here to the earth.
Yeah, it's going to be a fantastic weekend. It's going to be but one that we're really going to be digging into the subject and getting to understand it better. But Mfundisi, for today, I think let's park it there, because we just were doing some introductory conversation here just to get to understand and find a footing of where we are wanting to go to this particular weekend. I must thank you so much for your willingness to always come through and talk to us. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. And I'm looking forward to enjoying this week with you.
Oh, yes, definitely. I am too. Thank you so much.
God bless.
Blessings. Bye.
Adventist World Radio. From broadcast. Adventist baptism. World Radio. Powered by SID Media. To baptism. Powered by SID Media.